straight from Washington, right?
Yeah, yeah, to select the winner next week. So it's going to be a lot of fun. And then Christmas Eve, of course, the next day. So that's going to be great. So anyway, so Mario.
Do you feel close enough to your
friend? No, I don't either.
Yeah,
so sorry. Like to crowding you out. There we go. There over here go. Like this, okay?
He likes his friend.
So Mario, Tom. So we've not had a chance to meet. So we get to work together here, serve a team with the team, larger team. And, man, we get to talk about light today.
Yes, indeed.
Yeah, I got a couple jokes, Christmas jokes for you.
Christmas jokes.
Okay, you want to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. Let's see.
I'm not really
a
joke teller, but I looked up some Christmas jokes.
I love that you give it a go, though. That's awesome. I love that you give it a go.
I give it a go. Try to be funny. So, okay. Do you know how the snowman goes to work?
Snowman goes to work. He rolls in three sections.
By icicling.
Very good. Okay. All right.
How's that? By icicling?
Oof.
Okay.
All right.
I stumped you last gathering, too, didn't I?
You did get me. Okay. Okay. Here we go.
What do Santa's helpers, elves, learn in school? Shut up. Who said that? You identify yourself right now.
Drew.
Drew.
Drew McDonald, just stole your thunder.
When we have an altar call at the end, you would be the first one down here. Okay. Stole my thunder. Okay. Well, I got another one. Okay. So when the snowman's looking through the box of carrots, what's he doing?
They're on it. Either they watch
that whole that whole section over there.
Okay. I think I heard one over here too. My goodness.
Okay, I got one more then. I wasn't gonna give one more. Why did Santa go down the chimney? Ha! Because it suit him.
There it is.
S O O T. There.
Well done.
Fine. Have you ever found yourself in that spot? Okay, so I just call it chaos. So it's a chaotic spot, and you don't know how you're going to get out of it. Anybody raise your hand? Okay, so probably all of us have what I just call a chaos story, right? Mm-hmm. A confusion story. So Jen and I, we live in an older home that's just about a block from here. We think we've been there like 28 or 29 years or something like that. And so, built in 1924, it's a small home, so we have 800 square feet down below, so that's not very big, because that's kind of small, and then a little less than that upstairs. And but we started remodeling it some years ago, replacing a bunch of junk in there that needed to be replaced. And one of the things was wiring. So, when it comes to electricity, it's like me in swimming. It does not work at all. So as far as I'm concerned, electricity, I turn the switch on, the light comes on, I turn it off, it goes off, and that's all I want to know. And I want to make sure it works, right? So we were remodeling, and somehow, some way, I got into the electrical wires upstairs. And at that time, our house had old wiring. So the fuse box, how many remember the old fuses you screw in?
I've seen those.
Yeah, you've seen those.
Uh-huh.
History book, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so, all right. And it had this old wiring, so knob and tube. I asked Mario, you know what knob and tube wiring? You didn't even know what it was.
Googled it.
So knob and tube wiring, how many know what that is, right? It's the old wiring, right? Okay, that's what we had in the house. And now it's all replaced. It's all new. But anyway, I was doing some wiring. Don't ask me why. Something was wrong. And I was determined to fix it. And so it was upstairs. And so the only way I can describe it to you, if you took a bunch of, like, string and threw it on the floor, that's what my wiring looked like. And so I had to, you know, unscrew the fuse, right, because you don't want to get shocked.
No, that's kay? Step one.
Yeah, step one. Shut the electricity off. So I did that, and I had these wires going everywhere. So I figured I was going to fix it. So I screwed, you know, I wired them together, a couple of those things together. And I didn't want to screw in the fuse. My wife is downstairs, though. So I yelled down to Jen, honey, screwing the fuse. Man, she screwed that fuse in. I don't know if you've ever had one of those things pop on you, you know, but if you know what that's like, it like, it's scares you.
Startling.
Uh-huh. She screwed that thing in, and man, it popped like that because I had the wires all hooked up wrong. And so I undid them, and of course, the story continues. I actually got her a screw in the second fuse, too. Yeah. And it, with the same result, by the way, it just wasn't going to work. So I had this mess of wire. So I had to call up my friend Jim, and Jim came over. I said, look, I have got a mess here, and nothing's working. So he had to come in, and I don't know to this day how he knew what wire to hook up to what wire, but somehow, somewhere, we got that thing back together. And then I forget now who screwed the fuse in. Probably wasn't me, but it all worked. So it was just like one of those things where you know, you got to have somebody step into the mess, the chaos, and fix it, right? Mm-hmm. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean?
Yeah, we got to have people like that. Yeah.
Thank goodness.
No kidding. We were on a mountain making our way down from Mount Rainier one of the times, and we had to get off fast because this kind of weather system was closing in on us. And so as we're making our way down, one of the things that our lead guy was saying is like, you know, we'll be fine. We can't see far, but just as long as we aren't headed towards a waterfall, we'll be just fine. So we start making our way down, and it seemed like with every step. Now, I mean, if, like from here to the front seat, like we couldn't see the next person that far away. That's how thick the fog was. I mean, really a cloud that we were in. And so we're just kind of going by our understanding of where we think we need to go. We get down, and of course, with every step, what do we start to hear? Water, right? Yeah. Okay, of course. So we're getting closer and closer, making our way down. I'm thinking, this is not good. Like, one of these steps could be the step that is my last step. You know what I'm saying? We're making our way down. We're in this fog. And our lead guy, he had brought a GPS because that's one of the rules of safety. You bring your GPS. However, the battery part didn't necessarily get there as well. Mm. So we had GPS, no battery. So we're in this thing trying to figure out how to get down. And we are just lost in this cloud, and we are tired, and we're ready to be done. And then as it was just like, I don't know if somebody in the group prayed, but all of a sudden we heard this voice off in the distance. And it was like an angel of light, and we came and found, and it was a couple of people, and they had a GPS, which was so awesome. So they were tracking around trying to figure out where they were going. They had a GPS, but they didn't know how to use it. And so here we were with a person that did know how to use the GPS, and all of a sudden, that treacherous situation, that chaos, all of a sudden ended as we came together. So, yeah, we've had those moments, too, able to make it down the mountain.
My brother, there's a story in the Bible about that. Oh, yeah. Lamps with no oil.
Yes, indeed.
GPS with no battery. Same thing.
It is.
It's just more like a modern-day version.
Come on, yeah, we have to use that.
You know, if we
someday.
Were to go around the room today, we would hear more of those stories, wouldn't we? We really would. You had a story like that in your life, maybe even right now. If we could reach into the online campus, you know, like you go, I got a story like that. Not only have a story like that, you just described my life. Like it's chaotic. It's, you know, confusing. It has to do, you know, with my family or my friends or, you know, work people. But it is just chaos. And maybe it has something to do with, you know, the weather. Like I can't wait until it, like, stays light longer.
Hallelujah.
And it gets to be summer, right? It's gloomy. It's dark days. It feels chaos. We desperately need someone to kind of step into our situation. Mm-hmm. And you can think about when that happened to your life. Or maybe that's where you are right now and saying, Jesus, man, I just need some help here. This is the story of Christmas. Mm-hmm. Someone stepped into our chaotic mess. Mm-hmm. To lead us out.
Right. And that's where we find ourselves, right? There was a guy who was sitting on the side of the road. He was not able to see. He was blind. And if you can imagine what that existence would be like. I mean, to literally wake up every day and not be able to see a thing. And can you imagine that? Darkness. He had to be helped around wherever he was to find himself to that place on the side of the road to be able to beg for food, to be able to beg for money, to be able to make it day in and day out. That's that guy. It's that guy that Jesus and his disciples ended up walking down the road, and they walked past them. And as they did, the disciples had a deep theological question that they wanted to ask Jesus. It's like, so there's this blind man sitting on the road. Okay, Jesus, whose fault is that? Who sinned here? Was it his parents or was it him? And Jesus' response when he sees that whole situation taking place, he says, it's not really a sin issue at this moment. I mean, stuff's going on, but here's the deal. This is taking place so that God can gain glory in this moment. And then Jesus goes on to say that night is coming, and then no one can work. But while I am here, I am the light of the world. And so Jesus goes to the blind man, spits on the ground, creates some holy mud, puts it on the guy's eyes, and says, go wash. And the guy goes and washes in the pool of Siloam, and once he's done, he is able to see. This man who was blind is now able to see. He comes back, and all of his friends who had been helping him along, who had seen him on the side of the road, they're saying, is that the guy? Is that the guy? Isn't that the guy on the side of the road? I'm like, no, it can't be him. And he's like, yeah, it's me. I've been healed. Something different has taken place for me. Something miraculous took place. It's kind of ironic, isn't it, that the man whose world was literally lived in darkness encountered the God-man who said that he is the light. Out of all the people, of all the metaphors, those two to take place, kind of ironic, isn't it? Or maybe even think for our lives, and maybe more importantly, could it be that this same Jesus steps into our darkness, steps into our chaos, and brings the light that it is that we need? It'd be wonderful if that was the case. And John seems to think so.
Yeah, it's a beautiful. So you're right. And John actually refers to Jesus, and Jesus refers to him as light time and time and time again. Mm-hmm. So if you have your Bibles, go to John chapter 1, your tablet or your phone or whatever it is that you use. John chapter 1, we're going to look at this morning. We're going to talk about true light, how Jesus steps into the chaotic mess of life and brings to us something far more than I think that we ever have expected, certainly more than what we deserve. John chapter 1, we're reading from verse 9 to verse number 14. The one who is the true light, everybody say true.
True.
True light, we'll talk about that, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Let's break it down. We're going to walk through these verses together. So yeah, let's do that, shall we?
There's a lot there.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, if you were here last week, Jason was speaking about how he got shortchanged because we only had a few verses. I mean, we've got the mother load right
here.
Yeah. This is good. So,
exactly.
So it starts off with this. It says that the one who is the true light, and we can't even get far before we come across this reality that there is a designation of true light, which insinuates that there's also a false light, right? So we have these different ideas of what light might be. In Scripture, John's trying to say he was the one who was the true light. And this is kind of compared to false light or a dim light. Now maybe some of you, so I saw some of you said you raised your hands because the power went out for you. I know that was true for us too. We lost power. And I think we have to almost be in that situation before we can appreciate light. It's like we have light on all around, but once it goes out, it's like, oh, what are we going to do now? You know, how are we going to find our way through? And so we were at our house, and the power went out when that took place. The power went out, and we just happened to have a few candles that were lit when the power went out. So it worked out well for us. We could see. But we decided we wanted to play a game, and we're kind of like moving around with our little lights trying to get things figured out. My son goes and grabs his headlamp, and he turns that thing on just like, poof, like, we can see. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the true light. Let's get our game on because we can now see the playing field that we're working with. That's what I'm talking about, this true light. And we often seem to settle for the kind of a little bit of like a little candlelight kind of living, right? We settle for these little lights. We settle for these false versions of light in so many different ways. We settle for an online version of community instead of the face-to-face interaction. We settle for what the news has to say about our time instead of looking to what Scripture has to say about our times. We settle for lust instead of love. We settle for mediocrity in our marriages instead of striving for great ones. We settle for a soundbite we hear on a podcast instead of listening to what God's Word has to say. We settle for a head nod with our relationship with God instead of pressing in, instead of deepening our relationship with God. This false light, this dimmer light can come in so many different forms, in different religions and different ways of thinking, of different ideologies. But Scripture, John's letting us know there is a true light. For the unbeliever, it's, will you believe in this Jesus? For the believer, it's this question of, will we settle or will we allow the light of Christ to have its way? You see, if we want to see, we have to go to Him who is the light of the world, both for salvation and for continual renewal. Jesus said this about Himself in John chapter 8. He said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. In John 10, many of us have heard this scripture before. He says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. In John 9, he says, the night is coming and then no one can work. But while I am here in the world, I am the light of the world. And so if this is true, if he's the true light, then it begs something of us, doesn't it? We have to consider what does this mean to us? We have to be willing to ask the question, am I settling on a light other than the true light? Am I settling? In other words, are we relying on other sources to give us salvation, to give us security, to give us meaning? Or are we trusting Jesus for that? He's the true light. You see, if not him, then something in our lives have to change. We have to find a different focus. In a world that's full of false or dim light, the call is to trust and live out that Jesus is the one and only true light that we can depend on.
Yeah, and that true light has come into the world. Let's read on. He came into the very world that he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But here it is. But to all, everybody say all.
All.
I've circled that in my notes. All who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become the children of God. But to all. But to who?
All.
But to all. That means that neighbor that you dislike and did you wrong. Jesus came for the neighbor, but to all. That means the workmate that you're not getting along with. Jesus came for all. That means the family member, maybe, that's treating you wrongly, hasn't come to faith, perhaps. Jesus came for all. We begin to see people through a brand new lens, don't we? Because he came for all. How many have had that experience of being chosen or not chosen to be on a team? The lineup, right? The lineup. Mm-hmm. Okay, so we've all been there. Now, I'm thinking you and I have a different story. Because I'm thinking there's always a captain of the team. Mm-hmm. And the captain chooses the first person, and you're either the captain of the team or the first person chosen, right or wrong.
That tends to be the case, yes. However.
No, however.
No, no.
No, however.
I'm slipping down the, you know, no, every turkey bowl. I'm a little bit later in the.
Because you're older. You're getting
older.
That's
what I'm saying.
So that's why. But you see, that's your story, right? Mm-hmm. Well, that's not the story of, like, a lot of us, including myself. You get the line up there. Mm-hmm. And then the captain, of course, gets selected, mm-hmm. and then they start picking, right? Mm-hmm. We want you, and then the next team, we want you, mm-hmm. we want you, we want you, we want you, and all this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And people like me, we're the last ones, and then with the last one, they argue over you. No, you take them. No, you take them. No, we'll play one man short. You take them. You know, you take them. So the all thing doesn't work, right? So, you understand this. But to all he came. I kind of sat on that last night and this morning. And I'm so thankful that Jesus didn't just come for those who could afford it or who looked a certain way. Or the family had a certain status. I'm really thankful for that. Because my family didn't have that status. And we were going to the food bank. You know, the government cheese and the government food and the government milk and the government eggs. And if you've ever had government powdered eggs, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I'm so thankful. He had just come for those who had it. He came for all. Jesus has come for you and for me. And I've said this a lot here at Gateway. If you've been around for any time, you probably have heard me say it, that Jesus died for the whole world, but he did so one person at a time, one individual at a time. You know, it's interesting when you get into the Gospels, you start understanding, you know, the four Gospels, those four books in the New Testament that begin the New Testament, what I call the foundational books, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. They have different audiences. So Matthew, he has a, you know, he's the tax collector, right? Not, he wouldn't fit into the all either, nope. Right? But as a tax collector, Jesus chose him. And then he writes the book of Matthew with a Jewish audience in mind. And then Mark's a missionary. Yeah. He writes with a focus on the Roman audience. And then you get to Luke. Luke's the doctor and historian, right? And Luke is writing to a different group, to a different audience. He's writing to the Greeks, you know, the kind of the thinkers. Mm-hmm. But man, then you get to John, though. The book of John that we're studying is a global audience. That's why we read to all. And that's why maybe if you've been a follower of Jesus for any length of time, maybe one of the first verses that you memorized in the Bible was John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, it's a global message. He came, this true light that you just described, for all of us. And when we place our trust and faith in him, we move from spiritual darkness to spiritual light.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's that part that we play a role in, right? There's that belief part on our end.
Yeah.
We have to say, we recognize that you came for all. Yeah. Will we choose to step into that belief? And to recognize that when Jesus came, it wasn't just to save our physical bodies.
Yeah.
And as much as we want to see healing take place in this physical, material realm that we're in, when God came, it had such a large impact. It did so much more beyond just what it is that we hold on to, the things that we can see and feel and touch. Jesus had another agenda. Because for us, just like that blind man, we live in spiritual darkness. He came into a world that was dark. And so even in that story, that one that we were talking about where the blind man, he came to now have his physical sight, that's not the end of the story. You see, that blind man, he goes up and talks with these religious leaders trying to help them understand that something has indeed happened to him, that there is a Son of Man. But then later on, after that physical healing, Jesus goes and finds that blind man once again. And he continues the conversation because there's more work, if you will, a deeper work that needs to be done. After Jesus finds him, he says, do you believe? Do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man says, yeah. As Jesus reveals who it is, he puts his trust and hope in Jesus. And then Jesus says a baffling statement so that the Pharisees, the religious leaders, could hear it. He says, Jesus told them, I enter into this world to render judgment, to give sight to the blind, and to show those who think they see that they are blind. Some of the Pharisees who were standing nearby heard him and asked, So are you saying we're blind? Well, if you're blind, you wouldn't be guilty, Jesus replied. But you remain guilty because you claim to see. You see, what Jesus was talking about was not about the physical world. You see, the blind who come to sight are those who put their trust and hope in Jesus for salvation. Those who see and then become blind are those whose self-trust and pride blinds them to the wonders of what Jesus can do. And so for us, we have to ask, how does that apply to us? How do we live that out? You see, this requires not only an initial decision to say, yes, Jesus, yeah, I choose to believe in you. That's such an important part to say, yes, I believe. But even as we become followers of Jesus, Jesus' light continues to shine. And we have an ongoing choice to say, will I trust Jesus with this area of my life? as he continues to illuminate the dark areas of our heart and of our life, will we say, Jesus, I choose to trust you. I believe in you that I can trust you with this area as well. It's an ongoing relationship. You see, ultimately, we have to ask, are we choosing to live blindly in certain areas like those Pharisees? Or does he get to shine his light in every area of our heart? And we're called to be a people who live in that way to say, Jesus, every area of my life, you are light and you shine into every part of my life. Have all of me.
Yeah, so what you've just described is that process of moving from spiritual darkness to spiritual light, just placing our trust and faith in Jesus. I've often said, you know, there's no like perfect magical prayer words in the right order. Mm-hmm. It's just saying, Jesus, I trust in you,
right,
and I place my faith in you, and I want you to lead my life. So how did he do this? Let's take a look at it. So the Word, you can see it in yellow, became human and made his home among us. And so for some of you, you're brand new to the faith. There's a word that's tossed around, the incarnation, right? It's God became human. God became flesh. He sent his son, Jesus, into the world. I was thinking about this thing again, you know, and I'm thinking, that's not the way I would have done it if I would have been God, you know. I'm not sure you would have either, to send his son into the world. He became flesh. He made his home among us. Now, not in like some weird hologram. So you remember the holograms, you know, like there was a church I knew one time tried to hologram their pastor.
That's pretty sweet.
I'm not sure what that would look like, but you know, so it's like, you know, like there's kind of like a hologram over there. That's not it. He came into this world. He became flesh. In fact, if you have the King James Version, the NIV, and ASB, those versions say that very thing. The Word became flesh. Mm-hmm. And not just so that he could taste food and all the emotions. I mean, he did that. Mm-hmm. But for this one purpose, so that he could give his life as a sacrifice for you and for me, mm-hmm, for the world. Because there needed to be a blood sacrifice. And it was his blood that was shed on Calvary. In Romans, I think it's the fifth chapter, the sixth chapter, says he came at just the right time. And he has, just at the right time, stepped into our chaos and stepped into our mess. And as a result, we adore him and we become carriers of light. Those of us who have come to faith, who know Jesus, have experienced light, now become carriers of light. So I'm encouraging you as we leave and head out into the workplace to do something that you probably have never done. So last week, so I was not feeling too well. Mm-hmm. I was hanging out in the office. And these guys go like, don't infect us. You need to go home and
go
all that
home.
Kind of, yeah, go home. So, and I'm actually doing really well today. Much better. Yeah. Anyway.
Vitamin C, baby.
Yeah. So there's this thing going around, right? This, I guess, virus or whatever. So we're infectious. So that's that means you spread it. But as carriers of the light, we're to be infectious, right? We're to infect other, we're to carry the light. That's our graphic. It's the light. We're carrying the light. So I'm encouraging you this week as you're out and about in your job place, in the store, coffee shop, you get a chance to introduce yourself. Introduce yourself, give your name, and then say this, I'm infectious.
See how that goes for you.
Yeah, and then they ask you with what? You go, well, with the true light. Now, I guarantee you're going to get some questions at that point right there. I'm infectious with the true light.
Yes,
see how that works for you. That's the reality. We are to go into all the world and share this good news of the gospel. That's what Gateway is about. It's not just a season that we celebrate his coming. It can't be. God help us if it ever reduces itself to a season. It's every day. That's why we go. That's why we give. That's why we pray. That's why we do what we do. That's why we feed people. We call it good deeds, goodwill, good news. That the things that we do in Jesus' name, the good deeds, like the feeding, like some opportunities we're going to share about in just a few moments, the goodwill, creates goodwill for the good news, because that's what this thing is all about. I want to talk to you about, you know, we open up our facility to these other groups and to the weather shelter. It's so that the good deeds will ultimately open the doors to the good news. Our team just returned from, Dr. Bill, are you here? You're here somewhere. I don't know where you are. If you're here, come down here. He didn't know I was going to do this. I don't know. Bill, where are you? You here? Well, get down here then, bro. There you are. I can't see the balcony. I know there are people out there. Get down here. And then, Dave, go get him a bucket, will you? Get offering bucket. So this is all kind of on the fly here. You, in case you hadn't noticed.
Yes. Okay. Not in the notes at all.
not that we're going to do this, but Bill led our medical team to Senegal. Bill and Dave, they just returned. And you gave and you prayed. Come on up here. You gave and you prayed, and we sent this team off, and God opened some incredible doors for this team. And Dr. Bill here led the medical side of that, did a phenomenal job. And take that microphone. And you're
killing me, Tom.
I know. I know. The first trip that we went on together, I remember you going like, I'm just broken with all the needs over there. But I want to talk about a boy. We're talking about good deeds, good ones, being carriers of the light. And you learned of a boy who is blind, practically blind, I think, mostly blind, right? Yeah. Tell us about him.
Abdu is his name, and I think he's maybe 7 or 8 years old. Nobody knows how old they are over there. But he's got congenital cataracts and cannot see. I don't know how long it's been since he's been blind, but he's totally blind.
Yeah, totally blind. And so you asked a question of, is there anything that can be done or something like that, right?
Well, Felloween was talking about a team from Oregon that is going to be, actually they were there December 9th, optometrists, and they do eye exams and give people glasses, but they can identify people who might benefit from cataract surgery, and then they arrange for that to be done, and the surgery's done in Dakar, and it's only $500.
Yeah.
But $500 to them is, you know,
a lot of money.
Not reachable.
Now, I just want you to think about that for just a moment. $500 for a 7-year-old boy to regain sight. So we're going to help out. And there are, I don't know how many cases there are like that. We saw a guy, an older guy, same thing, same issue. But these things can be solved. Good deeds, goodwill, good news. And so I'm going to ask Dr. Bill, you didn't know I was going to do this part. David's going to give you that bucket right there. He's going to stand in the lobby. And I'm just going to, David, you can too. You got two buckets there. These guys will be in the lobby. If you want to help some of these kids and older people regain sight through this surgery, we'll whatever you give, we'll send over. That will do it, won't it?
Yeah, I think maybe about $1,000 will do it, because they have to have transportation to
back
and from,
forth.
And there's 4 or 5 consultations that need to be done, and you know, they can't afford transportation to get there, but maybe $1,000.
Okay,
or so.
to see again. Oh man, thanks for coming down. All right, thank you. Nancy, come on up here.